Jesus, Savior, may I know your love and make it known. Amen. Please be seated. You know, just when you thought you had managed to shoo John the Baptist out of the house and had just enough time to clean up the dining room in order to have a really nice Christmas dinner, he comes back in the new year. After Jesus has grown up and he's an adult. And so we encounter John the Baptist again today. He calls to repentance those who have been drawn into the wilderness to stand along the banks of the Jordan. And the bony finger of this peculiar man of God invites them to confess their sins and wade into the river with him. And there he pours water over them, promising that the Messiah will come and baptize them with the Holy Spirit. And I think it must have been quite a spectacle, lots of razzle-dazzle and rhetorical fireworks. And I wonder if we'd have been captivated by John's theatrics and all the names he hurls at self-righteous religious folks. He promised the sound of their roots being violently hacked away by the axe of God's Messiah. And I wonder if we'd have been filled with expectation, waiting for that moment and cheering with the crowd as the Messiah takes the stage like we're at some kind of concert. But there's only one problem. That's not what happens when the Messiah shows up. As we just heard a moment ago, the Gospel of Matthew takes us right into this conversation between John and his cousin Jesus, and we often assume that the crowd all around the riverbanks is intensely focused on what they're saying to one another, this conversation between the Baptist and the Messiah. But if you go back and look at it, the text doesn't say anything about that. So try to imagine something else instead. Imagine this. Imagine Jesus blending into the crowd and casually getting in line with everyone else waiting to be baptized. In his intense fervor, John only recognizes his cousin as the movement of the line brings him closer to the water. And when that happens, needless to say, things aren't following the award-winning apocalyptic screenplay of John's imagination. Jesus simply wants to wade in the water just like everyone else. And that's exactly what happens. And after they have this little sidebar conversation, a confused and reluctant John the Baptist gives a bath to someone who doesn't need to be cleansed. Matthew's gospel tells us that when Jesus came up from the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him. It doesn't tell us that anyone else noticed anything unusual. And it doesn't tell us whether anyone else heard the voice that proclaimed him as the beloved of God. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Maybe Jesus walked away from the river without those around him really aware of what had just taken place. What's important is the fact that Jesus got into the water with them. He stood shoulder to shoulder with the sinners whom God would form into a new community, the community that's gathered here today. And that afternoon, he revealed himself as Emmanuel, God with us, God among us, God in the midst of us, God in the same muddy water as us. So maybe that event, in an oddly comforting way, demonstrated the true mystery of the incarnation. If children continued splashing in the shallow water, if young mothers continued chiding their children for being too raucous, if old men continued to wait in line for the promise of a new beginning, maybe the whole thing seemed ordinary and inconspicuous, and maybe the silent work of God frightened John a little. Maybe it filled him with doubts. After all, later in Matthew's gospel, John sends one of his followers to Jesus to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" You see, Jesus wasn't the kind of Messiah people were expecting. He certainly wasn't the kind of Messiah John was expecting. Instead, Jesus was like the servant described by the prophet Isaiah, filled with the Spirit and bringing forth justice, making himself vulnerable and recognizing our weakness. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. This is the one whose love for us is stronger than our most unlovable moments, stronger than our most uncharitable thoughts, stronger than our most selfish actions, stronger than death itself. This is the one whose forgiveness and grace always surprises us. And somewhere along the way, we've all had that gut-wrenching experience of feeling like a bruised reed or a dimly burning wick. And then something happens. And then we find ourselves on the receiving end of a small, concrete act of love. And it might come from a parent for whom your beloved child, even if he doesn't really get you or the things that interest you. It might come from a spouse who embraces you when you're at a low point emotionally or spiritually. It might come to you from a stranger, a refugee, a Samaritan, perhaps someone from whom you'd least expect to receive the love of Jesus. These people who come into our lives have stepped down into the River Jordan, down into the same water as Jesus. They have looked at us through his eyes and shown us his compassion. They have surprised us with his forgiveness and his grace. And they have shown us the one-way love of God for us when we felt unlovable. So however those bystanders experienced that event in the middle of the Jordan, as described in Matthew's gospel, we know that Jesus got into the water with us. And here's the important question for each one of us to ask ourselves this morning. Are we willing to get into the same water as Jesus? Are we willing to stand in line with everyone else for the promise of a new creation? And really think about what that would look like. Some of you may have seen the 1989 film Romero that tells the story of the life of Oscar Romero, the Roman Catholic archbishop who was martyred in El Salvador in the 1970s. The more he embraced the fact that God shows no partiality, the more lively his faith became. Archbishop Romero came to realize that special favors for the wealthy didn't reflect the new community that was being formed by Jesus. And this awareness is given painful expression at one point in the film when Romero's own goddaughter wants to arrange a private baptism for her daughter and is appalled at the notion that she should either stand with the peasants in front of the font or that her baby should be washed by the same water as their children. You know, I think that too often we forget that the real Jesus had dirt under his fingernails and that he stepped into water that probably wasn't crystal clear at his baptism. In other words, the real Jesus stepped into the world not as we wish it to be, but as it really is. The real Jesus understands the messiness of life as we actually experience it. He understands our need for grace and forgiveness. The one through whom we receive those gifts freely, the one who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, was very, very human. God came to be with us. And when we baptize people here, when we get into the same water as Jesus, we proclaim to those around us that this place, this church, is a community of grace and forgiveness. And my hope is that people will experience those signs of the kingdom whenever they walk through our doors. A community of faith where through Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, those who are bruised find healing and the weary are rekindled. And when that happens, it might be something that no one else even notices. But that doesn't make it any less real. Sometimes, my friends, the silence that surrounds us is not empty, but pregnant with the movement of the Spirit. And may it be so today. Amen.